This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Coach, come quick. Palomalo's been using Jackson shampoo again.
Oh, no. The locker room's filled with Troy's luxurious hair.
Get me out of here.
Find his face.
I'm trying.
And Palomalo, didn't I tell you? Head and shoulders hair endurance is for guys who want thicker looking hair, which you've already got.
Sorry, Coach. But you know I'm all about pushing the limits.
You're killing me.
Head & Shoulders Hair Endurance. Cleans to give you thicker-looking hair in only 1 week versus unwashed hair. 100% visibly flake-free with regular use as always.
Now until September 30th, red means go. It's the Victory Motorcycles Red Tag event with savings up to $5,000 and financing as low as 1.99%. Going on now until September 30th. Get it to your local dealer today. Rebate includes 2010 price rebate, factory rebates, available coupons, finance offer subject to credit approval by GE Money. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, eye protection, protective clothing, and obey the speed limit. Never ride under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets passed, knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the road on this Thursday, getting ready for the initial Loafer Luncheon. And this is the special fall sports Loafer Luncheon getting underway here just before noon. That's why we're here at the Health and Sports Center. We get to help take part in all of the coaches from UNK, Kearney High, and Kearney Catholic with their fall sports programs. They will all be on hand here. Give a brief little synopsis about their season, a little preview of how things are going to be going, they hope, this year. But we've also got a full show for you, including Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook coming up in our next segment. He will be joining us this half hour. Joe DeMeo, a little earlier than usual today, he's going to join us at the bottom of the hour from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. If you've got a question, because there are drafts done, but I have to believe that the bulk, including a couple that Tony and I are in, are still to come. And whether it's a touchdown only, a regular scoring, a points per reception, an auction league, you got a question for Joe, send it to us via the email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. The Dead Popper inbox, and we'll pass that question along to Joe if you've got a fantasy football question or baseball question as we're heading down the stretch here. Also, in our last segment, we'll be talking with Fox Sports Net's Dave Lapham, get his thoughts on how the Big 12 will set up. Doug Duda along with Big Daddy Tony Davis and Tiger Woods, 6-under, tied with Ryan Palmer, and he's done with his first round at the Barclays. Got off to a good start, 4-under on the front. Had a bogey early on the back and then was able to turn that around. So he is at 6-under par, and he has to finish in the top 50, theoretically, of this tournament to advance on to next week in the FedEx Cup race. And, Daddy, I ask you, I want to see him win. But, wow, what if the first tournament he won all year was the week, less than a week, after everything was finalized in his personal life with the divorce and the interviews and Elon in People magazine. Boy, would they have a heyday with that.
Yeah, you know what? You mentioned, you bring that up, Doug. If you want to check out a great article written by Jason Whitlock, really goes out of his way to see the personal side of Tiger and Elon's story. It's up on the website. It's up on, it was on the MSN front page there on the sports part of it today. But yeah, he gets that foot behind him, maybe clears his head a little bit. It comes out really on fire from the start, had it going. Gave one back, but then picks up three more down the stretch to finish at 6-under par. You know, ninth tournament of the year, It looks to be a disastrous year for the standard that Tiger set for himself. I don't know if that is disastrous. You finish in the top 30 in all four majors. A lot of people would love to have done that. He did that, but yet everybody's saying, boy, how far has he fallen? Will he ever win again? Well, we'll have to see this week. It certainly looks like he likes this course. He likes the way it's playing, and he got on fire early today.
Well, we'll see if he can keep things going, and maybe the course is set up where a lot of folks will go a little bit lower today. We're glad to hear from you. Dent Popper inbox, as we said, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can give us a buzz, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. And Daddy, Roger Clemens, Monday, we're going to find out a lot more. The former pitcher will appear before U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton for allegedly lying to Congress about his use of steroids, obviously John Boy's son. Officials at the federal courthouse in Washington say that Clemens will be arraigned Monday afternoon on criminal charges. Sports Center, perfect. That'll be a Roger Clemens special. Now Roger's at the courthouse. Now a wrap-up on Roger Clemens. Thank God we're done with Brett Favre signed so we can move on to Roger Clemens 24-7.
Yeah, don't those guys have something better to do? We just got rid of the oil thing and seem to have it under control and starting the cleanup process. And then we move on. We got the Dow keeps going down every day, but yet we're got to be involved in Roger Clemens and what he said to Congress. I don't understand that for sure, but whatever. Apparently they've got time. Apparently they got time to deal with Roger Clemens.
We talked to Alex Gordon on the show yesterday. He kind of takes the day off, kicks back, comes in and pinch runs for Billy Butler in the ninth inning, and gets to be part of the on the field and part of the ball club as they come from behind on a Willie Bloomquist home run of the 12th to beat Detroit 4-3 after they've been down 3-0. That snaps Detroit's five-game winning streak, and now they've got a win under their belt as they head to Cleveland for a weekend series beginning tomorrow. And Gordon sporting a new Hunter look. Had the shades on, had the scruffy beard, had the hat pulled, the helmet pulled down. I keep forgetting, I got to ask him one of these times, what's with the pants, Alex? You ever tripped over those things? You ever watched Alex? I mean, they're like under his shoes.
The Greg Gagne look.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, but they do end up scoring four runs. Most runs they've scored in about 20 days. I think you look back at 0-1, 0-1, that looks like the Royals. Box score most of the time, but you get four runs on the board, you're able to pull out a win. So, oh well, you're playing it out down the stretch. You're going to see some young guys. It's a process. Remember, people, it's a process.
One other thing, folks, if you are planning a vacation maybe around Labor Day or between now and the end of the baseball season, we're going to give you an opportunity to go see the Royals for free. Two-pack if it's just two of you, a family four-pack. We're going to throw in the parking as well. There are a couple of dates between now and then that they don't allow affiliates to hand out tickets, and we'll let you know more about that in a little bit. But if you're planning on going to Kansas City and you haven't got your tickets yet and you want to go catch a Royals game, keep it here on the Doug and Daddy Show, because in the next week, not today, but in the next week, we're going to be giving you a chance to win some tickets. It's going to be fairly easy because I'm guessing there's not a whole lot of people that are going to say, oh, well, let's get those tickets and just head down to Kansas City. But there are some folks, so we want you to get down there, and we want you to watch the Royals on us as the process continues.
We're looking for, you know what, we come to UNK in just hopes of getting a glimpse of the CFO and the CEO, Rich Broderson, and that's been handled today already as he walks past. So,
well, there's
good to have Rich with us.
Always nice to see stars in the building. Always nice. He's got the tones ready for Saturday night. Wayne State rolling into town for the first. It's the second official Loper function because today the soccer team plays. Mike Munch and his girls up to Wayne State, the only team they beat last year, and they go to Wayne State and they play this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And again, we're here at UNK for the Loper Lunch, and everyone is welcome to come. $5 for the Runza meal. You can have a Runza. You can have a cheeseburger. Sometimes they got a Swiss mushroom burger over there, maybe a chicken sandwich, and a side of soup and all that good stuff over there. Maybe a little cookie, usually, and a drink. $5. You can't beat it. And listen to all the coaches for fall sports for UNK, Kearney Catholic, and Kearney High. They will all be here today. The coaches start speaking right at noon, and it'll last less than an hour. We'll get you back Maybe you need an hour 15 lunch today to drive, eat, listen to the coaches, and we'll have you out of here by 1 o'clock. So come on out and join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show and all the Loper fans, Star fans, and Bearcat fans as they get ready to start their season. Some of the sports are already underway, softball and golf. Football begins for Kearney High tomorrow against Columbus. Kearney Catholic begins against Hastings St. Cecilia next week here on ESPN.
Doug, when the volleyball deal gets in a full swing for you, when do you start doing your four nights a week?
opening night of volleyball season is September 2nd. So
then it's full throttle. From then on, it's all
hammer down.
Hammer
down. And after the last couple of weeks, that's probably a pretty good thing. I need something else to do in the evenings, apparently, than prepare for the season. Love to hear from you folks. Always wide open at the Dent Popper inbox. A couple of other things, Daddy, before we get into the bulk of our show today. Maurice Clarett cleared to come to Omaha and try out. Again, this is just a tryout. This team is already practicing, but he is now allowed to try out. Jim Tressel sent a letter to the judge yesterday and couldn't be there. He had his court hearing, but in support of Clarett.
You know, I just, the more names and the more, you know, excitement this team gets, the better. Many people in Omaha that we've talked to that are involved with this team, whether it be from an ESPN radio standpoint down there, those guys went out of their way to make sure they were involved with the Nighthawks right away. They think this could be a sold-out Rosenblatt Stadium. You know, they're only going to play four home games there. So, you know, it's not like you got to knock off all these dates. You got 4 days to worry about. They think they can get 20,000 plus at Rosenblatt Stadium for all four of these games. And I just think the more names you bring in, the bigger and better this deal is going to get, and the more interest it's going to generate. And for a young franchise, everybody's coming into this as new. So I guess everybody's got the same chance to win this deal this year. But it should be exciting to have another football league and hopefully one that's not defunct after 3 weeks.
Well, that is the case. And by the way, get on ESPN.com. Pat Forty has wrote an article on Tom Osborne and the transition to the Big Ten Conference. And go to the college football page on ESPN.com. And, Daddy, today the Big Ten blogger, Adam Rittenberg for ESPN, reporting that Iowa and Wisconsin will not be in the same division when it comes to the Big Ten football. Commissioner Jim Delaney telling them yesterday that the league is about 80% done with the divisions and the scheduling for the 2011 season when Nebraska comes in and makes it 12 teams. Barry Alvarez, former Wisconsin coach, a former Husker, former Lexington guy, he is now the athletic director, obviously, at Wisconsin, and he told the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday that Wisconsin and Iowa would be placed in different divisions when the plan is announced. Supposedly the middle of next month in September.
Well, that blows up Belima's deal to have Nebraska and them meet up every year.
Yeah,
that's gone. You know, that big rivalry game that the Wisconsin coaching staff went out of their way to say, we think this would be a great deal for college football, for Nebraska, for Wisconsin, to meet up that last game of the year, to hopefully have everybody's attention to play for the championship game or whatnot. That's out now, folks, because Nebraska, well, you think, would be placed with Iowa. I can't see them, Nebraska jumping over Iowa somehow and Iowa going to the other side.
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy. So your thoughts, there's some thoughts that Ohio State will be in one division and Michigan will be in one division. Here's what Delaney has said. A potential benefit of putting rivals in different divisions is that the teams can then play for a Rose Bowl berth in the new Big Ten championship game, quote, if you split teams, whether it's Purdue and Indiana or Illinois and Northwestern or Michigan, Ohio State or Nebraska, Penn State, if you split them, they can both go to the championship game. If you don't split them, only one can go. Again, that is, for all this farsightedness, this looking into the future, this is very nearsighted. They're looking, they're anticipating who is going to be good forever. And they're crossing their fingers a little bit, I think.
Well, you're looking at those named teams and who's been there for, yeah, you look at Michigan right now. Right now, initially, yes, you want them on your side. But down the road, will you? Well, probably not. You know, that's going to be a huge game once they get back to prominence. You know, Nebraska fell on hard times. Miami, Florida's fallen on hard times. Those teams are back on the rise. Well, you know, it'd be interesting to see when they get this deal settled. I like the deal about breaking those teams up. I think that schedule is going to be tough enough about no matter who you put in there. You got some really quality teams. It looks like even when you divided it geographically, east and west, it looked like you had, every week you're going to have to, pay attention to what's going on, or somebody's out there going to knock you off. But we'll have to see how they divide it up. I'm really stunned that they got rid of Nebraska and Iowa, or the Wisconsin deal, because I thought that was a great idea right off the bat and something a lot of people just ran with.
Well, in now kind of the new formula that people are putting together, Nebraska would be in with Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State as kind of the big boys on their division. So come up with a name. What's the new name going to be for the division that Nebraska's in? Because it's not going to be north, it's not going to be south, it's not going to be east, it's not going to be west. They're rolling the dice here, I think, Tony.
We'll be the Plains Division. We'll be the Plains Division, and they'll be the...
flying everywhere?
I was going to spell Plains differently than that. That's an excellent point. Yes, we will be flying everywhere.
Awesome. Awesome. Folks, don't forget all the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show are fed by our friends at Burger King with $2 doubles with bacon. Yes, $3. Maybe you want an icy Frozen Coke or Cherry Coke, all sizes now just $1. And breakfast at BK, new breakfast bowls, scrambled eggs, sausage, cheese, roasted potatoes, onions, and peppers. It's all there for you in Lexington, Cozad, North Platte, and two locations in Kearney next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, and Kearney Cinema, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue. We're at the Loper Luncheon, which will get underway here in just about a half an hour. When we come back, Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook joins us.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
It's back by popular demand at Bruce Furniture in Hastings and Holdridge. The buy one, get one free sale on Lane recliners. Purchase a world-famous Lane recliner at its regular price and get a second one of equal value absolutely free. If you don't need two recliners, bring a friend and share the savings. Choose from nearly 100 recliners in wall, saver, and rocker recliner styles and colors to fit everyone's room. Easy credit terms plus great savings on comfort. But hurry, the buy one, get one free sale on Lane recliners ends soon. Bruce Furniture, downtown Holdridge, and south of the Landmark Center on Marion Road, Hastings.
For generations, Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry needs. We're the experts on masonry and concrete products in the region with over 140 years of combined experience at our two locations. We're particular about who we deal with and what products we sell. With a high level of customer service at both locations, Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The most exciting high school sports action begins Friday right here.
Gets it across to Smith. Cremosa sets middle. Pearson terminates. It's match point given. Number 26 for Jerrica Pearson.
Ranky, who's in the shotgun. He'll keep it himself. Ball is pulled back through the middle. Break one tackle. Goes right up the middle. And he's going to go the distance. This will go for 74 yards and a touchdown.
Now looks back to the left and it's intercepted at the 12-yard line. Up to the 10, lowering his shoulder and down to the 6-yard line. With the pick is Trent Pritchard. Green over the double block. Abronik with a great up in the back row. And Friesendorf will get it across. Slide right side. Take him stuff. Ace block. Taylor Johnson.
Third and goal at the 3. Fish turns. Gives it to Maloli up the middle. He follows his blockers. He gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Kearney.
Here's Bo Schwenke, quarterback keeper. 25 to the 20. Comes to the left side. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. 5-yard line. Touchdown. Bo Schwenke takes it in from 25 yards out. The St. Cecilia Blue Hawks are going to win the Class C1 State High School Football Championship.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures climb up in the mid-80s for high. South winds also turn gusty at times around 10 to 15. As skies remain clear tonight, lows reach into the mid-50s. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 75.
Let's go! 75. But do you still? You can do it all by yourself.
big weekend for the Nebraska volleyball team and exciting. This is the way you start a season. You bring in great volleyball teams or great teams, whatever the sport. You put them in one venue, and you get after it. And Iowa State's probably pretty happy because it's one time they don't have to play in a high school this year. Iowa State, Nebraska, Florida, Kentucky, four of the top 15 teams in the country will be at the Quest Center this weekend for the annual Coaches Challenge. And head coach of the Nebraska volleyball team, John Cook, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good and getting ready for volleyball and football and all of this fall sports season. I guess the question is, how are you doing?
We're doing good. We just started school, and so we've had 2 days off, and we're trying to get back in our routine today. So I'm anxious for practice because we've had 2 days off, and I'm looking forward to getting back in the gym after our red-white scrimmage on Saturday night to work on the things that we learned from that, and then prepare for the teams we're going to play this weekend.
Coach, did anybody step up in that red-white scrimmage, maybe come a little bit off the radar for you to say maybe we need to get her on the court more?
Well, everybody was on the court, so they're making it difficult to figure out what her lineup is. So I've had a couple sleepless nights trying to decide what's our best lineup going to be. And we got a lot of kids competing, and they all did really well at times. And we'll have to see, you know, how this week goes and who looks like they're ready.
That's a good thing, right?
I hope so. I don't know. Some years you don't have any options, so it's like, you know what, here we go. And there's no pressure and no expectations, and nobody's looking over their shoulder. So I think it can go both ways, but the competition is good, but I think we have a lot of kids that can play.
Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get their season underway this weekend. Coach, all the talk or most of the talk for fans that are very concerned and into Husker volleyball is the change with the 6-2 and putting Lauren and Sydney both on the floor. I guess we have football 101 for the non-diehard volleyball fan. Explain what the difference is going to be from your team with that change.
Well, the best analogy I can give is it would be like the Nebraska football team using two quarterbacks. And, you know, maybe you got a first and second down quarterback, then you got a third and fourth down quarterback. In volleyball, it's a little different because we have set rotations. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to maximize our front row and maximize our back row. So with the two setters, there's six rotations in volleyball. One of the setters would have three rotations, and opposite them in the front row would be a 6'5" lefty. And so opposite Sydney would be Morgan Brokhouse. And then once they rotate around to the back row, we put in a setter and substitute in another 6'5" lefty, Lindsay Light, for Sydney in the front row. And so you always got a 6'5" lefty up there in the front row, and you always have a great setter in the back row. So that is a simplified version of it. Now, what's the advantage to it? The advantage is you always have three front row attackers in the front row, and it helps. It's really tough to defend it because you have to worry about all three attackers. And the beauty of having the lefties is you can set them from really anywhere on the court, as opposed to when our setter last year was in the front row, we pretty much need a perfect pass to be able to set behind the setter to our middles. And, you know, so this just allows us to play, be more difficult to defend, be more balanced. And we hate defending teams that run 6-2s just because you've got so many hitters to worry about.
So ideally every team would run a 6-2, right?
I think most coaches probably would. The challenge is, can you get two good enough setters and can you get four good enough outside hitters? And that, you know, that's hard in college volleyball to get all of that on one team. And this year, you know, with Lauren transferring back and Morgan Brokhouse coming in January, as she'll be a freshman, but she's already been here for 9 months. She's gone to she led our team in kills in China. So that was one of the reasons she wanted to come in early, because she knew we would have this opportunity to do the system that we've been working on.
John Cook, the head volleyball coach at the University of Nebraska, joins us. We've asked you before, and we'll ask you again, Coach, with that setter system, the way you have it, what does that mean for a kid like Bridget Root out of Grand Island, who could probably step in on a lot of cases, but probably is going to have to be a leader off the court more than on the court?
Well, Bridget, you're right. And Bridget's, to run that system, it's nice to have a third backup, especially to run the other side in practice, to simulate things so we can work on that system. Because normally you got to have split up your setters. So Bridget has a super valuable role for us, has done a great job. We actually had her play one of the games in the red-white, and she did really well. She played in China. We gave her some matches in China. So she's doing really well. And you're right, there's a lot of programs that she could go and play at right now. But she loves, and we talked about that in the off season, but she loves Nebraska. She loves her role. And she's worked really hard. She was the lifter of the year. So her new nickname is, and you guys are football guys, you'll appreciate this, but based on the movie Rudy, since her last name's Root, we just changed it R-O-O-T-Y for Rudy. So she's our Rudy. The kids absolutely love her, respect her. And she is a huge leader of our team behind the scenes. And, you know, she epitomizes what Nebraska volleyball is all about. It's about Nebraska volleyball and everybody doing their roles. And that's why she has so much respect.
Coach, how is everybody comfortable with those roles when some of these girls know that, hey, it's going to take a couple injuries for me to even see the floor?
Well, that's part of being on a team at this level. It's very competitive, and you got to compete and earn your way, and that's where you have to have kids that are happy with contributing in their roles, and that's part of a coach's job is, you know, I only got 15 kids to worry about. I look at Bo, I mean, he's got, you know, 150 guys to keep happy. So I think my job's probably pretty easy compared, you know, to somebody like that. We got great kids, and they're bought into our team and what is going to help this team be successful. And you know, we really the other key in coaching is you got to make those kids that are supporters feel really good about their role. And like I said, Bridget has a ton of respect, for example, and she gets a lot of love from the coaches and from fans, and I think she's pretty happy. And we got some other kids that are in that role as well of supporting and doing what they can to help the team.
Nebraska volleyball, John Cook, head coach John Cook, just with us for another couple minutes. Let's talk about the challenge that awaits your teams this weekend. Tell the fans what they're going to see on TV or at the Quest Center when Florida and Kentucky come up.
Well, we're hoping to fill that Quest Center. And, you know, the first thing that I've been thinking about when I get asked this question is, you know, Nebraska fans are used to having regionals and Final Fours. We have one regional in the next, literally in the next four to 5 years, and no Final Fours. So if fans want to see the Huskers play and see them in the Quest, this is their opportunity. And and this is as close to a Final Four type atmosphere as we're going to get. There's four teams ranked in the top 14. There's some great stories in this. Christy Johnson, you know, former Husker coaching at Iowa State, and, you know, they've had to overcome a lot of adversity here in the last couple of weeks. Craig Skinner, the head coach of Kentucky, former assistant here, he's done a great job of building Kentucky into a top 10 program. And then, of course, we know the tradition with Florida and the success of their program. And, you know, it's Florida. I don't care what sport it is. You know, Florida always has great talent, great recruits. So this is a pre kind of Final Four type event, and the competition is going to be great, and we're excited to be a part of it. And this is a great opportunity for Nebraska fans that can't get in the Coliseum to come see some great matches in the Quest Center.
Coach, I've got to ask, when those preseason awards came out, when the newcomer of the year was announced, did Lauren just shake her head? Was she disappointed? Because I know I was like, she's a Pac-10 freshman of the year. Who is this junior college girl?
I don't know, but we never talk about that stuff. So what we talk about is what have you done at the end of the year, and that's what we focus on. And so we never really – I mean, that's us for fans and media to talk about. We talk about today and where are you going to finish, and all that stuff's just hype, and it gets in their heads, and we're thankful we stay away from that stuff.
I imagine Dad might have said something to Mom at home, though.
Actually, no, it's never come up. It's more of She moved into an apartment, so it was more of getting her, you know, getting her a couch and a chair and a TV. So So I've been moving stuff. So that's been the talk.
You tell her to be careful about her neighbors over there. I heard that's a heck of a neighborhood that she moved into. So, Coach, we always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Take care of the girls, and we'll catch up with you later in the season.
Okay, it's always fun to visit with you guys. Thanks, and hi to everybody out there.
Thanks, Coach. Coach John Cook, their ball club, of course, gets underway Saturday and Sunday, Kentucky, Florida, 4:30 both days, Quest Center, Omaha. If you can't make it, we'll have the action for you live on our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5 FM and at KIQFM.com. Always go to the webs for all of our football games. You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com, and it will direct you to any of our five football games. It's four tomorrow and then five for most of the rest of the year on our two ESPNs, on Classic Hits 98.9, on The Breeze, and on 1230 KHAS. So tomorrow, Adams Central is in action playing Sydney. Hastings is taking on Schuyler. Kearney is taking on Columbus, and Ravenna is taking on Donovan Trumbull, and those will be the four games. But volleyball gets going on the high school level next week and for the collegiate level this week. Number 2, 9, 13, and 14 in the preseason poll at the Quest Center. And Daddy, as Coach Cook said, you're not going to get to see that kind of volleyball talent assembled in the state very much over the next few years because Nebraska is not a regional or a Final Four host, but once in the next 5 years.
It's something about, you know, playing at that level so early in the season. They can go one of two ways, and I think, you know, a lot of people can get down. Oh, my gosh, they pushed us to five sets, and we're then supposedly number two. This competition is the elitist in the nation. You won't see this. You're going to see three other matches of this caliber this year from the Nebraska volleyball team, and you got to look at this weekend and say, hey, if you do happen to drop a couple, it's not the end of the world. you know, that's one thing to go out there is get your sights set so high. I just think people got to remember where you're at. We got a long season to go. Take it for what it is. It's a quality opponent. It's playing in a big-time atmosphere. Let's see how they handle it and see if hopefully they can get through it.
Every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show, Joe DeMail from FantasyPledge.com joins us. And so if you've got a question for Joe, email it to us, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We've got a couple waiting in the hopper here. We remind you that we are at the UNK Health and Sports Center on the road today with the Doug and Daddy Show. It's the first Loper Luncheon. It's the annual fall Loper Luncheon, which means they bring in UNK, Kearney High, and Kearney Catholic football, volleyball, cross-country coaches. Everybody for the fall will be speaking today. Lunch served by Rudza, so stop by and enjoy a kickoff to the season. Glad to have you with us here today. And Joe DeMail, how's it going?
Hey, Doug, how are you?
Well, we're doing good, and we're getting antsy. Joe, my first draft is tonight. What's the number one thing I better be ready to do when I walk into that draft room?
Now, do you know where you're picking?
I do not know where I'm picking, which is lovely. You draw them out of a hat when we get there tonight. 10 teams. Most of them are 12, but this one is a 10-team league. And so, no, as usual, I have no idea what I'm doing when I walk into that room. And it's kind of showed in the standings the last couple years.
Well, I think the way you want to look at this is if you have a top seven pick, go ahead and opt for one of the top seven running backs. You have Johnson, Peterson, Jones, Drew, Turner, Ray Rice, Frank Gore, and perhaps even Steven Jackson. I think the Rams will be a little bit better this year in getting near the goal line. If you're outside of the top seven, give some consideration to grabbing Aaron Rodgers and then coming right back around and getting whoever is available as a running back, Rashad Mendenhall, Cedric Benson, because I do think you'll be able to get Ronnie Brown and Joseph Addai in rounds four or five. And Ronnie Brown specifically has a chance to be a top 10 running back this season if he can stay healthy. So quarterback is thin, especially with Favre now losing the bulk of his receiving corps. It's inconceivable to think that Greg Camarillo is going to make that much of a difference in Minnesota. It'll help Camarillo, but I don't think it's going to help Favre. And so you want to be careful not to have those seven quarterbacks come off the board and you're left, you know, gambling on a Cutler or a McNabb or somebody of that ilk.
Joe, I think a player of value, at least as I look at things, is Michael Crabtree. We didn't get to see until the middle of the year last year, but boy, he looked good when he got in there and got a chance to get out and show people what he could do. Where do you have him in your rankings?
Yeah, I like Crabtree a lot. And what I'll do, Daddies, I'll start to. I will adjust the preliminary player rankings next Tuesday after week three of the preseason is over. I want the final injuries to shake out. Not so much I'm looking at performance. I'm worried more about injury. We rank Crabtree right now number 21. We think he can move up a little bit higher than that, somewhere in the vicinity of of Steve Smith of Carolina or Ojo Cinco of Cincinnati, maybe at number 17 ahead of Donald Driver and certainly ahead of Percy Harvin now, who's got to be dropped down because of the migraines. The wild card is Wes Welker. I want to see him tonight. I believe he's going tonight. And if he looks good, then he'll push Crabtree down at least one place. And Welker will move into somewhere around number 14 or 15.
Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox, Joe. Eric says, and if I'm reading this right, it says, Joe, would you drop or keep Calvin Johnson and Steve Breston and either add Ted Ginn Jr. or Danny Amendola or Arendola, the St. Louis, I'm not sure if he's got it spelled right. I remember seeing him on your website, and in one of the books I had double-checked, and I said, wow, he had a lot more receptions, maybe even led something in receptions or one category. So I guess his question here, if I'm reading it right, he must have Calvin Johnson and Steve Breston. Would you get rid of one of them and pick up Ginn Jr. or the kid from St. Louis?
Hey, Amendola is intriguing. He's an intriguing play this year. He'll run the slot. They say his quickness has improved. He's an intriguing prospect this year as wide receiver sleepers go. Calvin Johnson's off the table. I mean, there's no consideration there at all. Calvin Johnson's one of the top 10 receivers in football, even with me throwing the football. The bottom line here is now, do you want to sacrifice Breston Leinart for Amendola, Feely, or Bradshaw? And that really is a toss-up in my mind. Going into the season, you might want to gamble on Amendola getting more looks because there's no Larry Fitzgerald on the other side of the equation. So you might make a case for picking up Amendola over Breston, but please know, Eric, it's speculative.
Joe, what does the quarterback change in Philadelphia do with those two young receivers that are so talented?
Well, I think they're going to be fine. Cobb's got a big arm. He'll be able to reach them anywhere on the field. I think DeSean Jackson, in my mind, is still a top six, top seven wide receiver. Jeremy Maclin still ranks in the top 30 in my mind. And we're not going to discount them because Kevin Cobb's at the helm. We think if those guys get open, we think he has enough arm to get it to them.
Doug and Daddy Show, talking with Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Be sure and check out his website before you go into your draft, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Where is the cutoff then in that wide receiver? We've talked about the tight ends the last couple of weeks that you think that's pretty deep. Don't waste an early pick going on a tight end because there's enough of them there. So where's the wide receiver cutoff? You've got it at 7 at the running backs. If you don't get Andre Johnson, and you can throw in a couple of other guys there that you've mentioned in the past, is it 3 guys? Is it 1 guy? Is it 7 guys? I mean, I know somebody's going to take a wide receiver in the first round tonight, so where's that cutoff?
Yeah, it'll be Andre Johnson, and I wouldn't reach for Andre Johnson in the first round. He's a great wide receiver, but his separation between Andre Johnson and Randy Moss or Miles Austin or Reggie Wayne, or for that matter, DeSean Johnson or Roddy White, will not be as significant as people are implying by generating a first-round draft pick for Andre Johnson. I think he's going to go, Doug, and you can tell me next week, somewhere between 8 and 11 in your draft. I would much rather reach for Aaron Rodgers, even though the differential between Drew Brees and Peyton Manning will not be that significant either, and Brady for that matter. But I'd rather have what I consider the top player points-wise in fantasy football, which will be Aaron Rodgers this year, and circle back and grab still a world-class wide receiver. I mean, the way I'm looking at wide receiver this year, especially in a 10-team league, you'll have a chance to get a very good wide receiver, ranked in the 30s, a guy like maybe Dez Bryant or Pierre Garçon or Mike Wallace. There's going to be some fairly, even Mike Williams in Tampa, I think is going to be an interesting play this year. So your wide receiver three is still going to be a decent receiver. If you can circle back and get a running back in round two, maybe Grant Anquan Boldin in round three, I think you'll be sitting there with Colston, or even Brandon Marshall may drop that much. Greg Jennings will certainly be there. And then in round four, go ahead and reach for Ronnie Brown. Then what, round five, come back and look for a Michael Crabtree right there, or Ocho Cinco right there. You're in pretty good shape. You have a nice team. You have a solid running back, one and two. You have a good wide receiver core, and you have the best quarterback in fantasy football. You're going to be a force all year long.
Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, this question comes from our friend Mark in Minden. He says, what scoring system are the lists on your website?
We do everything based on standard scoring, Mark, because there's so many different scoring formats. You'll have to make an adjustment for PPR. We use a standard scoring format, which is 25 points and 1 point for 25 yards, 4 points for touchdowns for quarterbacks, minus 1 point for interceptions, running backs, wide receivers, 10 yards, 0.6 yards for TDs, minus 2 for fumbles for everybody.
Hey, Joe, you mentioned Ocho Cinco. Is he way the better pick in this Ocho Cinco Terrell Owens deal? I mean, Chad goes in round 5 and Owens is in round 10, or how you splitting that up?
Yeah, I think Ocho Cinco's a very nice play in round 5. I think you'll look at Owens as being competition as well. He's not going to want to take a back seat to Terrell Owens, and I think he will be supremely motivated to bring his game up to where it was 3 or 4 years ago when Chad Johnson was, one of those guys you wanted to have on your roster. Now he's Ocho Cinco. I think that that internal spark will be kindled, and from what I'm hearing out of the Bengals camp, he's more excited about playing football this year than any time in the past 3 or 4 years. And we like him in round 5. If he's sitting there, what a nice pickup. Wouldn't you like that Boldin and Ocho Cinco as your wide receiver 1 or 2? So, I mean, Boldin, he's a bulldog, and if he stays healthy, he'll be fine. And a motivated Ocho Cinco, taking balls from a rejuvenated Carson Palmer.
Joe, Brandon Jacobs has been a longtime running back for the Giants. Looks to be Ahmad Bradshaw, though, that seems to be making a move this early preseason. Where do you see those guys? If Ahmad Bradshaw jumps him, how does that impact what's going to happen with what you do draft-wise?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Jacobs is a tough guy to count on. I look at him as more or less a bye week replacement. I don't want him as one of my lead horses. And I, for years, have kind of shied away from Brandon Jacobs. And he doesn't even make our top 30 in running backs. He doesn't make our top 20 in running backs this season. He's number 24. And he'll drop out of the top 30 if Ahmad Bradshaw looks like he's going to get the bulk of the touches. And all we can say about him is he's a capable bye week replacement.
And finally, Joe, before we let you out of here, one last email question here. You were talking about the depth of quarterback. The question here says, if those top 7 quarterbacks are gone, would it be safe to build your wide receiver depth and then take a chance with Kevin Kolb with all of his weapons later on?
Yes. The answer is yes. if you get to, you're in the bottom of the third round, top of the fourth, and all 7 of those guys are gone, which is possible this year, why reach for Cutler or McNabb? I would take a flyer on Kevin Kolb or even Carson Palmer a little bit later, and I would stock up on WRs and maybe get that third high end running back like a Matt Forte or a Joseph Addai to make sure I have enough depth, and I'd circle around back in round 7 or 8 and maybe look for my guy at that point. But if you can get Schaub or Romo, Rivers, Brady, Manning, Breeze, or Rogers, I recommend you do that.
All right, Joe, we're out of time for this week. Lots of questions, and next week we'll have a whole host of new ones. And good luck. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thanks for the time.
Good luck to you tonight, and I'm looking forward to see how you did. Have a great week, guys. Take very good care.
Thanks, buddy. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joining here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And speaking of fantasy football, Cunningham's Journal would like you to join their modified fantasy football league. It's unlike other leagues where you draft teams. Here you just choose the players you want each week. For more information on how to play, stop by and pick up a sheet to get started. The best part of the Cunningham's Modified Fantasy Football League, 100% payback in cash that is put into the league. Plus, they throw in weekly prizes and the end-of-the-year grand prize. And to help entice the excitement on NFL Sundays, Cunningham's Journal will be running the Sunday Training Camp Special, $1.50 drafts all day. So grab your friends, head to Cunningham's, watch your favorite teams play, score your fantasy teams, and make it an NFL party every week. It's filling up, and so time running out. There is a limited number of teams. Stop by Cunningham's Journal, the Loft and Courtyard, and watch some football and have some fun this fall. We are at the UNK Health and Sports Center, where folks are rolling in for the Loafer Luncheon with UNK, Kearney High, and Kearney Catholic coaches talking about their fall sports teams. And, Daddy, you ready for Dave Lapham?
Oh, I'm so ready for Dave Lapham. I think Bruce Furniture's ready for him, too.
Our exclusive Big 12 Media Day conversations will continue with Dave Lapham of Fox Sports when we come back.
When pain strikes, put on a Salon Paws pain relief or arthritis patch and join the pain-free movement. Salon Paws is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter pain relief patch. Two powerful active ingredients go right where it hurts, reducing inflammation and relieving mild to moderate pain for up to 12 hours. Millions are joining the pain-free movement. Now, it's your turn. Salon Paws.
Salon Paws.
Available at CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
They walk to work in the heat and snow, uphill, both ways. They could tell a storm was coming, not because some slick weatherman told them so, but because they felt it in their knee. They're your dad, your granddad, and every other man who built this country. And when the weather got tough, the tough got Cabot Wood Stain. Its deep penetrating pigments and oils have made it a pro's trusted stain partner for 130 years. Cabot, our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures climb up in the mid-80s for highs. South winds also turn gusty at times around 10 to 15. As skies remain clear tonight, lows reach into the mid-50s. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 75.
Somebody really make some money, please. Back on the Doug and Daddy Show as we continue to look at the college football in the upcoming season. We get a chance to catch up some of our old friends, not only as analysts for college football, but pro football. And we always talk with Dave Lapham, and we're pleased to see him again from Fox Sports Net to see how this wide-open Big 12 race is going to go this year. Dave, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Appreciate it, boys. Long time no see. It's good to see good, friendly, familiar faces. And, I like it.
And a guy that wears a bigger shirt than you.
My man. I'm loving life now.
Well, we know when football's here, when media days rolls around, and when camp opens for the pros and
right.
Things like that, The firestorm hasn't really begun yet, but there's a lot of interesting storylines. Let's start here with the collegiate level, with what you see in the Big 12, with the transfer of teams leaving in Colorado and Nebraska. Right now, as we said, what's the most interesting storyline to you?
You know, I think it's how the teams that are leaving will handle the fact that eventually they're going to be gone. I mean, I don't think Nebraska is going to face any disrespect from opposing coaches or players, because Nebraska's program has always been run the right way, and they play and they coach the right way. But fans, I think Nebraska's going to have some tough times on the road. I mean, I think fans are going to give them a tough way to go, and be interested to see how they handle that sort of thing. And in Colorado, the same boat, because that was a little bit of a firestorm right there. It seemed to be changing every 10 or 20 minutes. But when Texas decided to stay put, that King Domino stopped the rest of them from falling, and now we've still got a conference, albeit not 12 right now, a couple of years down the road. And I do think, my hope is, honestly, I would like to see Nebraska win the Big 12 North and Oklahoma win the Big 12 South, and have one final game of Nebraska and Oklahoma that had national championship ramifications like it did back in the day when Tom and Barry were coaching, and every single year that game, that matchup, had national championship implications. I would like to see, you know, the final era of the Big 12, the 15th year of the Big 12, that with those 12 teams that started it out, finishing up with a game of that magnitude, I think that old rivalry would be great to have in a Big 12 championship game.
David, I guess in living to the Midwest and being so close to all the Big 12, you live in Cincinnati, you hang out and reside there, we're kind of going to your area. What was the general thought when all this was going on where you're from, getting away from where we're from in the heart of Big 12 country?
Well, I know the Big 10 is excited to get a school of the caliber in Nebraska to join. And you know, there's a lot of fits for a lot of reasons. You know, Ohio State people love Bo Pelini. He's an Ohio State guy, and he's got a lot of connections. Columbus loves him. So you know, now he's the other side. Now he's the rival. But I mean, I you look at it, and the Nebraska Oklahoma rivalry's gone. But I think the Nebraska Iowa rivalry is going to be huge. It's a border war game. They'll probably play it at the end of the season, every Big Ten season, and it'll be strapping on time. It'll be, you know, it not obviously like Ohio State Michigan. I mean, that to everybody in the Midwest, that is the game. I mean, that's the only game. Michigan Ohio State is religion to the football fans in the area that I'm from.
Dave, you think it's a good thing what happened with the breakup, with the teams going the way they went, and will the Big 12 survive?
You know, I think it's interesting. You know, you could just flip monikers, really. The Big 12 is now the Big 10, and the Big 10 is the Big 12. That would confuse the hell out of college football fans. And all that money you spent branding those conferences, you know, that's not going to happen. But I wonder, I mean, honestly, the way it was shifting, you know, I thought, like a lot of people, that it was going to end up being four 16-team super conferences. And I think that the next shift, whenever that is, it's all about money. I mean, whenever you have any questions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, bottom line is it's done for the dollar. Follow the money trail. And, you know, the Big Ten was throwing $22, $23 million out there per school. Nebraska and Texas aren't friends. Nebraska moves on and takes the money. And, you know, I think that ultimately it wouldn't shock me if college football went to a four-team mega conference, 16-team conference, no more BCS. You know, those four conferences have a winner. They play, and the winner of that game plays for the national championship. It wouldn't shock me. And the bowl system could still be intact.
Now, Dave, it's common belief in Nebraska that it was Texas' fault. From the outset, was this anybody's fault? Is there are people blaming anybody for this? In your perspective,
I think everybody, like from the area that I'm around, when they sat back and looked at it, it was all about money. And you know, people are conference affiliations that have the biggest TV dollar were the one to migrate toward. And everybody felt that's what was going to occur. You know, the Pac-10 darn near became a 16-team conference, and they were their network deals were coming due, and they were going to try to hit the big banana. So, I mean, it's all about the economics, and you know, that's what cracks me up a little bit, is the NCAA and some of these institutions of higher learning, and they try to pose themselves in that light. Give me a break, man. It's all about how many dollars they can pull in. That's what the bottom line is, and And, you know, the student athlete is a pawn in the whole thing.
Dave Lapham joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Fox Sports analyst, Cincinnati Bengals color man. Outside, let's get to talking actually what's going on the field, which, gosh, we've been waiting for months now since this all came down. It's Texas-Oklahoma. Nebraska seems to be the clear-cut favorite in the North. Pretty much everybody else is agreeing that it's wide open. You see anything that is a little different in your – that Texas and Oklahoma might not be battling, Nebraska might not be there, and is there somebody that you think can really make a push here?
Well, I mean, I think Missouri could be my dark horse potentially if Nebraska has – to me, the thing that Nebraska can't do is Nebraska can't put Nebraska on its schedule like it did a couple times last year, particularly the Iowa State game, which I was a part of that broadcast. It was shocking.
Uh-oh, they just turned the ball over again.
It was unbelievable. Four fumbles inside the five-yard line going in. Four of them. I mean, if that happens once, it's a tragedy. I've never seen it happen four times. They go minus eight and lose the game 9-7, a game they should have won 35-42-7-9, and they lose it 9-7. I've never seen anything like it. Got to give Iowa State a lot of credit. They just hung in there and fought. And I mean, everybody was sick and injured, and it was a patchwork group. But Nebraska self-destructed, and Iowa State said thank you very much. Same kind of thing happened down there at Virginia Tech. They were in position to win a football game, turn it over. So Nebraska, hopefully what they learned last year and some of the close losses they had is got to take care of the football, can't turn the football over. And so if they don't beat themselves, they stay healthy. I mean, the one variable coaches can't control, nobody can control, it gives coaches gray hair or no hair at all as they're pulling out of their head by the root is injury. So I think if everybody stays relatively healthy, those are the three that I think rise to the top like most people think.
Everybody looks at the South and they see the game that Gerard Johnson had against Texas last year, and 30 touchdowns, 8 more rushing. He's the offensive player of the year. Any way that they can shore up that defense, it was so bad. And no, make no mistake, it was Nebraska bad from 3-4 years ago. They're 105th in the nation. Any way they can shore that up and make a run?
They'll go as far as their defense takes them, because I do think they've got a little plan, and they've got people that execute that plan offensively. I mean, Sherman's done a pretty good job. He's a classic West Coast guy, but that incorporates a fullback and a tight end. He didn't quite have that, so he modified it to fit his personnel down at A&M, and the trigger guy Johnson is the key to it, like you talked about. But defensively, sieve. I mean, a total sieve. And scheme was reactive instead of proactive. I mean, you know, I like defenses that punch you and make the offense counterpunch instead of defenses that sit there and let the offense punch you and they're always trying to counterpunch. And I think this new scheme and this new coaching staff down at A&M, they're going to bring corners, they're going to bring safeties, it's all going to be based on confusion. I think everybody knew where A&M was going to be defensively every single snap, and they felt like we're better than they are and we know where they're going to be. We're going to kick their ass, and they did.
Another new coach in Tommy Tuberville at Texas Tech. We've really had a difference on Texas Tech. And, of course, I keep saying that we were so burned by the Bill Callahan changing NFL, although Tuberville coming from one source, he's going to really have to – he wants to change what they did at Texas Tech. He wants them to still win. I don't see that the puzzle pieces are going to fit together like some people do. What's your thought?
Well, he brought a coach in that he hired at Auburn, and he went a little spread look down at Auburn and had a losing record. Didn't have a whole lot of success with it. But I think he sees that the personnel that's been recruited has been recruited to fit that scheme, that style of play. So I think he realizes that he's going to have to transition a little bit, get a couple of recruiting classes under his belt to ultimately run the scheme that he wants to utilize. But, you know, he's going to have to modify the spread. It won't be Mike Leach's spread, but it'll still be the form of a spread. I mean, there's many spread looks, just like there are many automobiles. There's Ford, there's Chevy, there's Dodge, but they're all cars. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of spread offenses, too, but they're all classified as spread offenses. So I don't think it would be Mike Leach's spread, but you won't see them running a power eye offense or anything like that, I don't think, with the personnel that they've got down there to work with. And, you know, I mean, everybody says, oh, they'll play some defense now. But I'll tell you what, I thought that defense responded to Ruffin. I thought they played hard for him. I thought they played well. And, I thought he got a little bit of a bad knock when people said that because, you know, Mike Leach's style of play puts a defensive coordinator behind the eight ball. I mean, the chances he takes, you know, fourth down, and inside his own 30-yard line. Doesn't work out, short field. I mean, you know, you have to deal with the idiosyncrasies of a Mike Leach offense, but you know, Tupperville does play defense. I mean, his teams go out and play hard defense. I expect them to.
Another new coach in the North in Turner Gill. Everybody from Nebraska, of course, interested with the Nebraska ties there. How do you think he fits into a system which really Mark Mangino took to the highest heights that Kansas football has ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, I respect the job Mangino did. Unfortunately, it unraveled, you know, down the stretch. I was doing that. I did that Colorado-Kansas game where they were 5-0, and they lose at the end of the football game on a controversial offensive pass interference call that's made. And, you know, afterwards in the airport I saw him, and, you know, he was like, man, that loss hurts because I'm not sure where my next win's coming from. And I was like, wow. And he was the soothsayer, man. I mean, he thought that the way they lost that football game and the teams that he was going to be playing against, and he knew his personnel better than anybody, he thought he was in trouble, and ultimately he was. But, you know, Turner Gill, again, they're going to have to run that sort of spread offense look as well, because that's the personnel that they've recruited to. So it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. You know, I wish Turner Gill the best. I think Turner Gill, the type of human being is, has really put together a hell of a coaching staff. He's an easy guy to work for. Everybody likes working for Turner Gill. He's put together a pretty good coaching staff. So, you know, I think that they'll be prepared and ready to play football.
Dave Lapham with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Can't let you go without throwing the Bengals out. They drafted quite a few Big 12 players this last year. But, boy, it seems like they're healthy. It seems like some of the demons of the last 3-4 years have went along the wayside. Can they be a contender?
Well, they won the division last year with a 10-6 record. They went 6-0 in the division, had never swept the division in franchise history. I think it's going to be between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals this year. Ravens really improved themselves. Ozzie Newsome knows what he's doing as a GM there. You know, they needed to get some guys to retool Carson Palmer's tool belt, and they went out and they got, you know, a few receivers. They got Briscoe, and they got Jordan Shipley and Jermaine Gresham, Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas. And, you know, 5 of their 9 draft picks were Big 12 players, and they got McElroy as well. They got Reggie Stevens. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they got Antonio Bryant from free agency from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His knee's acting up a little bit, so now they're talking about T.O., potentially in the T.O. sweepstakes. And I'll tell you what, boy, you had Chad Ochocinco and T.O. in the same locker room every day. Three-ring circus waiting to happen. It's going to be unbelievable.
Hey, we'll talk about maybe the Nebraska boy, Maurice Purify, still there as well, right?
Maurice Purify there. Yeah, I'll tell you, the kid, you know, they loved him on special teams. Big, physical, the best blocking wide receiver they have. You know, they activated him off the practice squad. He got some reps at the end of the year, and they like him. They like him.
Does he realistically have a chance? Can he make the team? Will he still be on the practice squad?
I think potentially practice squad, but, you know, somebody may pick him up off waivers if you have to clear waivers to get on that practice squad. The only thing about having, you know, Chad Ochocinco and T.O. on the same team, usually you have 3 of your receivers are going to play special teams for you out of the 5 you activate. Those 2 guys definitely aren't playing special teams. Now all of a sudden, you know, who are your 3-4? The other 3 have to. That's why a guy like Purify, a guy like Quan Cosby, who was the Bengals' number 1 punt returner and averaged almost 15 yards a punt return last year. He made it as a 5th receiver because of special teams. So there's a lot of guys battling, and a lot of them can play good special teams for you.
Dave, you're the best. As always, we appreciate your time on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, we're going to even call you during the year.
Doug, Daddy, you guys are the men, big time.
Thanks, Dave. Dave, Bengals and Fox Sports joining us here from Big 12 Media Days.
Dave Lapham of Fox Sports Net, and one of our favorite guests we always catch up with at Big 12 Media Days, brought to you exclusively by Bruce Furniture. Whether you doze in a lazy boy or land recliner while watching the pennant race or PGA, you don't doze when the Huskers are on, because no one dozes when the Huskers play or settle in for a night's rest. From Bruce Furniture Sleep Center, rest and relaxation begins by seeing Doug or Michael Bruce and their trained staff. Bruce Furniture, with locations in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. Hey, the exclusive sponsor. We were glad to have them along with us. All the coverage of Big 12 Media Days. Hey, we need to take a short break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to wrap things up right after this.
Hey, Golic, our fantasy football league is starting up, and as commissioner, I wanted to talk to you about a rule change.
Ah, Fantasyville. Wait a minute, what rule change?
I'm proposing we institute a sausage cap for your game day parties.
Sausage cap? What does that even mean?
It means we're restoring competitive balance to your grill. You can't just let the Johnsonville sausage dominate this season.
First of all, Greeny, your authority as commissioner of Fantasyville does not extend to my grill. And why wouldn't I let the Johnsonville sausage dominate? I always win when I serve those juicy Johnsonville brats, Italian sausages, with the perfect blend of spices, smoked sausages prepared slowly over natural hardwood.
Well, I get it, but how about a little love for my grilled fruit and gorgonzola salad?
Gorgonzola salad? I think we're headed for a lockout.
A lockout?
Yes, as in you're locked out of my house every Sunday.
Visit Johnsonville.com and sign up for the Athlon Sports Fantasy Rush for 2,000 Yards Challenge for your chance to win everything you need for a fully furnished fan cave, including a 52-inch flat-screen TV, surround sound, a new grill, and tons of your favorite game day gear. It's yours to win courtesy of Johnsonville Sausage. Johnsonville Sausage is all we do.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Stop by Cunningham's Journal to join their modified fantasy football league. Unlike other leagues where you draft teams, you just choose players each week. The best part is they have a 100% payout of money put into the league, weekly prizes, and a big end-of-the-year prize. Also, to help entice the excitement on NFL Sundays, Cunningham's Journal will be running the Sunday training camp special. $1.50 drafts all day, so grab some friends. Go to Cunningham's Journal, watch your favorite team play, score your fantasy teams, and make it an NFL party every week.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping things up on a Thursday here. Tiger Woods tied with Ryan Palmer to lead at 6-under at the Barclays. People are following that the next 3 days. Look forward to that, seeing if Tiger can maintain that lead. Marin, I think we're wrapping things up. You still got time, folks, to come out to the Kearney Fall Sports Lunch and going on to the UNK Health and Sports Center now. Maybe you just jump in your car and you're headed to lunch. Hey, they just got the program started. Rick Squire is just taking the microphone. I'm talking a little UNK volleyball, but everyone who's here from UNK, whether it be football, volleyball, the cross-country coaches are here from Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, the football coaches and volleyball coaches from those respective schools as well. So it should be a great program. Come on and have lunch with Runs and the gang here at the UNK Health and Sports Center. Let's get out of here, Merritt. We want to thank Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, for joining us. All your fantasy questions, you can send them anytime, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperStation.com. I want to thank him for joining us. We want to thank John Cook for joining us today, Nebraska volleyball coach. They get set to start their season this weekend at the Quest Center. And we also want to thank our good friend from Fox Sports Net, Mr. Dave Lapham, for joining us as well. You know what? Tomorrow's show, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm out again. I'm headed to Omaha for a wedding this weekend to start out my fall sports season. So I'm really looking forward to that, or not. Well, one way or another, we're going to get through it, and we're going to be back tomorrow. Doug's going to be back in studio. Plenty of good guests for you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.